Welcome to another edition of the Superfly Podcast, your Mixolydian NBA podcast. Or, tonight, you're freaking out because it's the election podcast. Hang on to your hats, folks. We're coming in for a landing. I don't know who said that first, but it's always fun. Anyway, so, you know, sorry I haven't been around for a minute. It's been a couple weeks, I guess, since last we spoke. Last we hung. I like to think of it as us hanging out. Since last we hanged out. Whatever. Yeah, you know, life in the way of everyday fun things like the podcast. Because let's be honest, this is a labor of love for me. And I often have to labor over it way more than I want to. I have a full-time job. I don't know why I'm doing this. But it's because I love you guys. And you love me, I know. Just admit it already. So, a couple ways you can get in touch with the show. I'll just do this because why the hell not? You can, I know. If you're listening to the show, you already know how to listen to the show. Silly. But you can tell your friends, and you can go to the website, you can which is www. Does anybody say that anymore? Did I just date myself? You can go to thesuperflightpodcast.com. You can email me directly at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow on Twitter at superflightpod. You can follow me personally, Joe Borelli at Joe Borelli on Twitter. And iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, and everywhere else you can possibly listen to podcasts at. You can find us, me, it, the show. Yeah, some fun things. So the New York City Marathon happened this past Sunday, and I don't mind telling you guys. I'm in a sort of part-time band, too, as well. So we played for the marathon. That's always fun. We do it every year, and I feel really positive about like being a positive force for people who are doing really positive things like running for the marathon. And I really enjoy standing out there and freezing my ass off in the very early morning hours, you know, playing, and it's fun. And you know, you get some good feedback and people get really excited, and it's crazy. You wouldn't believe the amount of drunk people that come up to you at 10 a.m. from, I guess they're still just drinking from the night before, and they're like, yeah man, let's rock out. So that's always fun too. But it's super cool to see the runners. Shout out to my buddy John, who ran the marathon in 2:58. That's incredible. Good job, John. Good job. Now maybe I'll have him on the podcast one day. That's 2 hours and 58 minutes. That's insanely fast. Anyway, it's election night and I'm all wired up and super hyper. So my apologies in advance for being a motor mouth tonight, but I'm going to talk to David Fernandez again. He's a great interview, great guest. And he's agreed to come on the show again. Cause there's lots of NBA stuff to talk about. And as you guys know, I think from last episode, I think he was the last one on, you know, he's a Pistons guy living in Boston, which is always weird. And so he's going to give me his, you know, we're going to talk a little bit of Pistons and we're going to talk a little bit of Sixers because, you know, Sixers suck and I'm a Philly guy living in New York. But we're also going to go around the league a bit and talk about other things. Yeah. So don't freak out. Whoever wins, I hope you voted. Your vote does matter. I know people think it doesn't, but I am of the mind that it does because it's your civic duty and you should. And you should act like you care. And you should get involved in your country's well-being. And I think if more people got educated and involved in things like this, we would all be happier people and live in a better place and care more about each other and do the right things. And yeah, I don't know. It's just my take on life. I like to think that we all have each other's best interests in mind. So with that, I'm going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back. So welcome back to the podcast, David. Yeah, of course. Back by popular demand, mostly mine. So you were just telling me, but while we were offline, you were telling me a little bit about your, so you're doing the Movember thing. I noticed the very nice mustache you have going there right now.
Yeah, it's full on, it's fully wrapped around the upper part of my mouth. So it's definitely like, kind of has like an Eastern European vibe to it a little bit. Yeah. So it's thick enough to where I feel like it's either it could be semi respected at some sort of.
It looks good. I don't know. It suits you. It looks good. Yeah, man, welcome back. Do you want to plug your stuff? You got any new writing up or anything?
Yeah, so I mean, just the latest thing that I have up is the post game from the Nuggets game.
Okay.
Pistons at home. So that was a couple of days ago. I think that it was past Saturday. So, and yeah, like if you haven't heard from the last podcast, David Fernandez, I'm on the SB Nation affiliate site, DetroitBadBoys.com. You can find me on Twitter at the_Fernantula. That's FERNANTULA. And then, yeah, on the DetroitBadBoys.com site, I'm just my name, David Fernandez.
Nice. Good deal.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was a good article to write about. I actually have this, like, really weird streak in the in the regular season of every single game that I've either written a pregame or postgame for, the Pistons have won.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's kind of like...
That's a good streak.
In the playoffs, it wasn't the case because we got swept by the Cavs last season. Right. So, but, yeah, it's kind of funny. I don't like to say it. Yeah, whatever. I said it on a podcast. But
yeah, now you ruined it.
I don't tell, like, people in the article or in the Bad Boys that, but it is the case.
Well, let's hope it holds true. Let's hope
exactly.
Let's we're going to talk some Pistons, but let's get around the league first. I know you sure agreed to come on and talk about stuff around the league with me because I don't have a full time partner anymore. But so let's get into a little basketball, man. So we can take our minds off this crazy election. Have you voted? Did you vote today?
Yeah, I did absentee ballot. So I still have my Michigan state ID, so, you know, wrote that in last week, sent it in, so didn't vote, didn't get the official, like, or I did vote, but I didn't get, like, the official sticker, so I can't like, tell all my friends that I voted, but, no, I put it out there on Twitter, just so, you know, people in my immediate circle can, you know the truth, but, yeah, no, I did vote, but, you know, absentee ballot, which is kind of awesome, honestly. It was my first time doing it, but it's nice, you know, no waiting in lines, no needing to go anywhere. You just, you know, do it at your leisure. It's great.
I've never done it either. I kind of almost, well, I'm not going to get into my political affiliation. So I'm from Pennsylvania. I kind of wish I had been able to vote in Pennsylvania rather than New York, which I know which way New York is going, but I still voted and I'm happy I did it. And I got to wear my sticker very proudly this morning. So
nice. Kind of the same thing, but like the flip for me. So I'm in Massachusetts. Like
right.
we know where we're going. Which is great, but you know, just to write into Michigan is a little bit more of a battleground state.
Yep.
So you know.
So your vote matters a lot more, and it's important that you vote. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. You know, but it's good to talk basketball. You know, I was like looking forward to this, and then you wrote. I think we were possibly doing it yesterday. We pushed it today, and I think it's awesome that I just need to talk some basketball. I was like, some of the topics that we talked about, I've been kind of like cramming in. Like I haven't watched too much Mavericks, so
I haven't watched any. We can skim over the Mavs, but I did want to talk about their shitty start. But let's talk about OKC. I wanted to get into, like, you know, so, you know, obviously I watched the Sixers play OKC, and I've watched a couple other OKC games. I can't really remember which ones because I watch so much basketball, it's just like a blur at this point. I'm like, where am I? I'm just thinking, like, they look really, what are they, 6-1, I think? Hold on, 5-2, something around that.
Yeah, I want to say 5-2, but they could be 6-1.
I forget. I could look this up if I didn't have all these other programs open right now. But anyway, they're off to a really good start. And Westbrook, as usual, looks freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. So my question for you, they also have, like, and they're doing this on, like, fourth-ranked defense, which to me is completely a surprise. I mean, I thought that they'd be good. I wasn't sure that they'd be like a playoff team. And again, we're 2 weeks in, but they have the fourth ranked defense after 2 weeks. It's just a shocker to me because I don't think Westbrook has ever been known as, like, you know, a huge defensive guy. He's brilliant on offense and he kind of can put a team on his back, but he's not like a defensive stopper. For them to have the fourth ranked defense in the league, I think it's pretty impressive. But my question to you is, do you think they're for real?
So I just looked it up. They are 6-1. For real, at a certain extent, you know, I don't see them. It was kind of unfair, the game against Golden State. They were coming on the second night of a back-to-back.
Right.
It's an emotional game. You know, you can probably kind of take yourself out of it emotionally and get, you know, maybe expend too much energy, especially on the second night of a back-to-back. So I don't think that's a true testament to who they are as a team, because they did get – they got their asses kicked in that game. I watched that game, was really hoping for, you know, some of, like, the fireworks. And it was there early in the first quarter, but then from there on, Kevin Durant just went on a tear. But yeah. But Thunder, for real, in the sense that I think that they can be – you know, they can have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. From there, you know, maybe win a series. I don't think that they're as deep as, like, or as, you know, harmonious as, like, even a Clipper team.
Right.
Where I think that those guys are a little bit more, they kind of know each other a little bit more. They have their set identity. The Thunder, we saw it last year in the playoffs. That length that they have is a big problem.
Big problem.
Andre Roberson and Steven. I love Steven Adams. I'm like the biggest Steven Adams fan.
I'm with you. He's awesome. Yeah.
He is awesome. He's just something about a center that sets a really nasty pick. You got to love it. Like, there's so many bigs nowadays that kind of just put, like, their body there. They kind of just slide in there. Andre Drummond is one of those guys that does it pretty often. But, you know, I don't know. He's kind of a perfect complement to a player. Like Russell Westbrook, who does, like, that high ball screen. But, yeah, so, sorry, I'm kind of rambling.
No, it's fine. Ramble on, my friend.
I think that they're good. I just don't think that they can, you know, take out the question is who's going to be able to actually beat the Warriors in the Western Conference. I don't think that they're that team. I do think that, you know, they might be a player away or a couple players away from being able to be in that conversation of a legitimate contender for the championship. But I think they're for real in the sense that, you know, top four in the West is that damn good. So, yeah.
That's really good. I'm with you. I don't think, I mean, you know, honestly, the Warriors haven't even looked like they're that team yet, but we all kind of are working under the assumption, I think, that they're going to round into that team at some point. But I think you really hit on an important part there, which is that OKC's bench isn't really non-existent. Like, I don't really know what they're going to – they can't – so when like, I didn't watch the game against the Warriors, but as soon as Russell Westbrook left the court, from what I hear, that everything fell apart. Like, they couldn't score, and the team just kind of, like, gave up a huge – well, they were up by, what, 14 or something like that? As soon as he got off the court, they just – you know, they tanked. And, again, it's unfair because they were on the second night of a back-to-back, and they played their asses off against the Clippers, and they beat them, you know, which is really impressive. I didn't think – isn't that the Clippers' only loss as well?
And I didn't
think they would be able to do that. I thought for sure that, you know, they would just hand it to them. So, you know, kudos to them. I just don't see that they're going to be – I think they're what they're going to round up being is a regular season – a really good regular season team. And once they get to the playoffs, when they have to rely solely on Westbrook and not get much from anyone else except for defense – like, it's just not enough to carry a team deep into the playoffs. You need other scoring options, you know?
You do. And Steven Adams, you know, that player who we both, you know, obviously really like, he depends on Russell Westbrook.
Right.
So it's not just, like, that, you know, that his production decreases when Russell Westbrook is off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Going to your point of depth, I saw a tweet the other day during the game, and it was what's a Samaj Christian and what's he doing on my screen? And it's like, who is Samaj Christian and what is he doing getting playing time in this game? And I looked it up.
Seriously.
He's like a, you know, like a second year, first year player out of Xavier. But, you know, if that guy's getting, you know, 15 minutes a game or something like that, or playing big minutes. And even in that type of, you know, rivalry setting of a game, that doesn't necessarily bode well for you. Another player on their team who I'm a big fan of, and it might just because I, you know, grew up liking flashy players. Like, I loved Ricky Davis when I was younger. But, like, Victor Oladipo is, I think he's got, you know, supreme talent. I think he's kind of guy that, you know, he can jump out of the gym. He can hit mid-range jumpers. He can hit some threes every now and then. So, you know, he's still so young in his part in this team. He doesn't necessarily know how he kind of meshes with everybody else.
Right.
But I think that he could be a player that could kind of handle the ball on his own and not necessarily need Russell Westbrook. So maybe, you know, throughout a game, there's times where
You could stagger their playing time and have
stack playing time.
Oladipo.
Have him with the bench unit, maybe kind of, taking a little bit more charge of the offense, getting Enes Kanter a little bit more involved too, because he's kind of, you only have him out there for offense.
Right.
He hasn't even been playing that much this season, which is kind of surprising, but they're paying him like $85
million. I know, it's nuts. But he's been like a, he's been really good for them off the bench as far as scoring anyway. Like we all know he's not going to do shit on defense, but whatever.
Instant offense.
Yeah,
instant offense. He's like one of those guys that you dump it down to him down in the low post. He's got moves for days, and yeah, he's going to get you. He can get you 20 and 10 off the bench, which is not a lot of teams have something like that. But generally speaking, there's still not that many solid players. They're not deep. They're Nick Collison is still on this team.
Yeah.
Kyle Singler has literally lost his mojo since he was traded from Detroit. Just looking at some of the other guys, I do love some Domantas Sabonis. I thought, I was really hoping that the Pistons would somehow nab him in the draft last season. And
Seems like he's been really good for them so far too. I mean, he's just a hustle guy, right? Like he'll do all the like little workman type things that you need done on the offensive and defensive end. He'll catch some lobs and he'll just be in the right spots.
So I'm hitting threes. I think he had four threes in a game a couple nights ago.
Yeah, he does hit threes. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, so there's some stuff going on. There's really some exciting players, but they don't, this is now Russell Westbrook's team.
Oh,
finally,
for sure.
I guess finally it's, I guess, I don't know if it seems inevitable, but it's now Russell Westbrook's team. And, there's not a lot of, harmony on the offensive side of the ball. Russell Westbrook isn't the kind of player, even if he's going off, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's harmonious. Even when he has 12 assists in a game, that doesn't necessarily, it's kind of like a James Harden assist sometimes where you get lost, you find yourself in the air and you just dish it out and someone hits a shot.
Yeah, he's it's not necessarily sharing the ball. He's just,
yeah, it's not Chris Paul style.
Right.
So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that they're going to be able to get beyond even to reach like a possible?
I mean, of course, it depends on who it depends on who they match up against in the playoffs. If they go up against, I don't even know who would be the eighth seed at this point. But of course, Russell Westbrook is. He's the real deal, man. Like, you can't count him out of any game. And like the one thing you were saying is like this is definitely his team now. So coming in this year, I think this is their best start in their history. They have an identity. They're Russell Westbrook's team. That's huge for them. And I think that's going a long way towards making them the competitive team that they are. I honestly did not think that they would start off this hot. I just didn't see it happening.
No.
And I thought KD leaving was going to hurt them so much offensively. And obviously it has. But I didn't think the guys would rally around Westbrook the way they have, or just that he would be able to take command of this team in such a way. But I also think that it's Kanter coming off the bench and the guy you just mentioned, the center.
Sabonis.
Sorry. And go ahead.
Steven Adams?
Yeah, Steven Adams. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just got home from work. I'm really tired.
No worries.
I'll just edit that all out. Yeah, Steven Adams. I mean, he's obviously he's getting better and better as the years go on, and he's so young yet. I think he's still only 24, and that kid is so good. Yeah, man, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on OKC. I just wanted to point out that they're doing really well. They're surprising a lot of people, and no one saw this start coming from them.
They're 6-1.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's really good.
It's really good.
People were thinking. I listen to podcasts all the time.
You and me both.
And, a lot of NBA podcasts, and it's still early. We are 7 games into the season, but people were talking about them missing the playoffs. They were amazing with Kevin Durant, but I don't think when you take him away, their defense is so solid.
Yeah,
they have so much length. They are disruptive and they're feisty and they have a lot of intangibles that aren't necessarily, scoring the ball for them, but they're gonna be in the mix. They're gonna be a feisty team, and they're not gonna be a team that someone wants in the playoffs. They're just a player, or they're kind of like, you know, another solid starter, and then like a guy like Andre Iguodala off the bench.
Yeah. Now,
there's only one Andre Iguodala off the bench in this league. but you know, someone really solid like that, that's kind of taking a lesser role coming off the bench to really kind of make them a true contender. So
honestly, I think it might be if Oladipo finds his niche or in this team, like he really starts clicking with Westbrook, I think that might be the thing. You know, then you have a 3-man front with Oladipo, Westbrook, and Steven Adams coming, like starting the games that are just going to be, you know, could be dynamite, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, enough about OKC. We've got a whole podcast. I mean,
so many teams.
I know, so many teams. And we do want to talk about the Sixers and Pistons at some point. Another team that started out with this crazy hot start and everyone is talking about, the national media loves. And honestly, I, even though historically I hate this franchise, I cannot stop watching the Lakers. They're really fun to watch, man. Like, I don't even know what's going on with this team, but it's crazy. What, give me some thoughts real quick. What are your thoughts about their start?
So piggybacking on that just initially. So, Lakers, you can't like the Lakers and be a Detroit Pistons fan. Like,
like the Lakers and be any fan of any other team.
yeah, they're just so historically good, the Showtime there's too much history with the Lakers, but yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat. When you get older and you kind of watch teams, you start to just watch the team and the collection of players, and that's who you kind of start to root for. Because I would never have told you I was a Boston Celtics fan, and I do really like the Boston Celtics just because I love the players, love the coach.
Right.
But yeah, they're really exciting. You know, Julius Randle is getting into a groove. He's looking like an all-star. Like, he's literally looking – he's like 14-8 right now.
Is he a game? I thought he was like 11-10. I don't know. Maybe my numbers are wrong. But I know he's putting up lots of rebounds, and he's like – he's all over the floor and he's making some nifty passes. I don't think his jump shot is quite there yet, but man, he's been a force. He's been hustling like crazy.
And he's a beast.
He's a beast.
I remember last season, if you're going to go like toe to toe and get, you know, mouthy with Kevin Garnett,
mm-hmm.
that is saying something. Like not like, it wasn't like he was, I remember there was a point where they could not necessarily got in a scuffle, but they got, you know, they got pretty aggressive with each other. And it wasn't like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to look at the floor and walk away. It was like very much like he has a massive chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
But one thing that I noticed about this team that I think is going to pay dividends, and I don't think that they've set their lineup completely set, packed, like going forward. But if you have a player like Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench who's willing – he's a starting shooting guard half the rosters in the NBA. He is dynamite on offense. He can take over games. Not necessarily. I don't necessarily know him as a defender. I don't know if he's a bad defender either.
Right. Right.
But he's legit. And to kind of have that sort of mentality to come off the bench, I think is kind of showing some maturity with this team. You look at the roster itself. There are some solid players on there. I wasn't mad at the Timofey Mozgov contract in the offseason. I thought he's a big center. He's huge. He can hit, you know, like 15 footers.
Yeah.
He can jump out the gym. He can really, he's a really good athlete, has really good screens.
He has a surprisingly nice shot too. Like it's kind of smooth. I always forget until I see him shoot. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I kind of fell in love with him like during the playoff run with the Cavs a couple seasons ago when he was, when they lost to the Warriors. I was thinking, I was going a little too overboard. I was like, he's a top, you know, six center in the league. And that's kind of what I thought. I was like, your horses. There's a lot of good centers.
You could have made the case. Whatever. It's
good. I think he's just, you know, his contract got criticized quite a bit, but
D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell. Sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. I just did it
getting
too.
My,
fine.
Getting my Ingrams and Russell stuff. D'Angelo Russell's kind of really taking a next step. He's really maturing as a player, it looks like. He's getting into a groove quite a bit.
You know what? I'll say this about D'Angelo Russell, just a quick aside. As long as he stops, like, shooting ice in his veins on the court, I'm fine with him. It's like, stop over-celebrating. I don't want to see it. It's driving me crazy. Like, yes, you can shoot. He sees the court really well. That kid makes some incredible passes. Like, incredible passes. Yeah, and he's really good. Just stop over-celebrating, please.
Yeah, the ice in the veins is way too much. He was doing it. I was watching the Suns game Lakers Suns from a couple nights ago, and he did it when they were up like 17-10.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's gonna freeze for the rest of the game. But no, yeah, there's definitely too much of that. He swags out quite a bit, but yeah. He's good. You have some veteran leadership that's on that team now. You got Luol Deng in there. You got Brandon Bass. But you got Luol Deng.
Lou Williams is like, I think he's, yeah. Is he leading their lead? No, he's not leading their team in points, is he? I know he's been a fire plug for him off the bench.
Yeah, he's that guy. I'm a big fan of Lou Williams.
Yeah, I've always liked him in Philly.
It seems like they're good. It seems like the wheels are kind of like, they're not falling off, but they seem like who are we saying right now? Like, oh, Brandon Ingram's been okay so far, but D'Angelo Russell's killing it. You know, Julius Randle's killing it. Lou Williams is killing it. You know, Jordan Clarkson, they're all doing really well. I don't know if they can sustain that throughout the season. The Western Conference is brutal.
It's still brutal.
It's still, you know, you got to, you know.
And they're still so young. I mean, they're incredibly young. Yeah, but I think Luke Walton deserves a hell of a lot of credit, man. He's gotten them just playing with so much confidence. Like, they beat the Warriors. Who would have thought?
They smashed the Warriors.
They smashed the Warriors, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Here's my question for you about this team, because I don't want to, you know, we could talk about the Lakers for a while, but so they have this week right now, I think they're 4-2, right? And they have this week, Dallas, the Kings, the Pelicans and Minnesota coming up, and Minnesota, I think is 1-5 right now or something like that.
Yeah.
Not been playing well. Do you think it's possible that by the end of the week, the Lakers, the baby Lakers, as everyone's calling them, could be 8-3? I mean, is that possible?
You look at every game individually.
Yeah.
And I would say yes. 4 in a row right now at this point, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it would be 7 in a row till they're done because they just won 3 in a row, right?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like when you combine the odds, it starts to, it probably does, you know, starts to decrease. But
yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I mean, Dallas just won a game in overtime and they scored 84 points. So, yes, I definitely think they can beat Dallas. Sac, they tend to beat themselves half the time.
Yeah.
The Pelicans are really a one-man show.
Yep.
And Minnesota,
I don't know what's going on with them right now.
I don't know. I haven't watched enough Minnesota, and I told myself, like, this season I'm going to watch a lot of Minnesota, and I haven't done it yet. But I don't know what's going on over there. Something seems a little fishy, but
yeah,
they could. I don't think they will.
No, there's no chance.
Do you think they
will? There's no chance. No, but no. I'll say this. Like, they can't. They're going to have to drop one or two of those just because they're young. But the idea that we're sitting here talking about a 4-2 Lakers team, and it has the potential to win and go like could or 4-3, I guess, and could go or 4-2. I don't know. They could go win out the week and be 8 wins by the end of the week. That's insane. That whole idea is insane. When I thought these guys were going to be like one of the worst 3 teams in the league this year. So,
yeah.
And again, kudos to Luke Walton, man. Like I didn't think him being the head coach would make this much of a difference. Or maybe it's just that like, the, you know, getting rid of Byron Scott and Kobe Bryant is that much of the difference. I don't know. Also, Randall, again, like we were saying, like you were talking about earlier, this is the Randall that I thought was going to come out of college. This kid looks like insanely good. Like he's got some super upside, and I would love to see them play him a little bit at center, just doing the, you know, a small ball lineup.
Lineup. He can bring the ball up too.
Yeah.
He's got incredible handles where he can, if he's seeing a matchup, he'll do that thing where he'll kind of back up, you know, beyond the 3-point line and get a little rhythm going into it before he hits like a crossover to make his move or a spin move or something like that. That's not normal out of a guy that's 6'8", 6'9", and kind of known, you know, what was his comp coming into the league was Zach Randolph. It's like I like Zach Randolph, but Zach Randolph's strictly back to the basket. He's not doing too much of that kind of stuff. And Randall, you know, he has a lot of skill, a lot of talent, and, you know, and like an appropriate chip on his shoulder.
Right.
Where it's not ridiculous. It's not, you know, Boogie Cousins, you know, six fouls in a quarter, which I think he had the other day, and like a tech. But it's appropriate in the sense where, you know, I don't know. There was a lot of naysaying about, I think, his draft pick, about, you know, he missed his whole first season.
Yeah, that injury was, and it set him back way further than anyone thought it was going to, you know.
Isn't it a broken leg?
Yeah, I think he broke his leg.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's not something you come back from quickly. But yeah, I think that was the problem last year. I think he just wasn't healthy, you know, and Byron Scott and Kobe Bryant.
Go
ahead.
I agree with you. I think the Byron Scott, Kobe, sure, you know, your team's going to be garbage no matter what, Kobe Bryant or not Kobe Bryant, or maybe, who knows. But Kobe Bryant, you're going to send him off the way that you sent him off.
Right.
And it's going to happen, and you're going to get a high draft pick out of it. So it's not a lose-lose situation. It's definitely a win-lose or a lose-win situation.
Right.
You know, you lose in the season, you send him off, that's a win, and then you get the number two pick, that's a win. Byron Scott does not deserve another shot in this league. He really doesn't.
No,
he is
like an
authoritarian. He's like a dictator. He was benching
you gotta just
the
stop
young
with
players
Dick.
At the beginning of the season to prove a point.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. He's a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. He is. He's like
tater. I mean, he's a dictator. Yeah. Sorry. No, he's terrible. He's terrible. I mean, like, I don't know the guy personally, but he seems freaking awful. Yeah, man. Like, you know, here's the thing. Here's my thing about the Lakers. And this is the last thing I want to say about them. We'll move on because there's so many teams to talk about. And I want to get through some other things. I'm rooting for the Lakers to do well. I want them to finish with the fourth worst record in the league so that the Sixers get it. So they get that pick. Sorry. So they get that pick. Yeah. No, but I think they'll be better than that.
Pick?
Yeah, it's top three protected. So if they finish outside of the top three, the Sixers get their pick. And apparently the Sixers are going to need it. We'll get to that. But we were talking about Dallas a little bit. And so they've won their first game. I guess it was against the Bucks the other night in overtime.
84 points they scored.
Yeah, that's insane. And they have what's their defense? I was looking it up. I think they have like the number six ranked defense or something. I mean, their defense is really good, but they can't shoot at all without Nowitzki on the court. Like, well, I mean, Deron Williams is hurt, and I've never been it's sixth ranked defense. Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of Deron Williams. Deron, how do you even say his first name?
I always said Darren, but
yeah, people say it different ways. I don't know. I'm just gonna go with Darren, Deron, whatever.
Sure,
I can't even
decide.
Whatever
comes it is. Out.
I don't think he's that. I mean, he played really well for him last year, but he's like up in his 30s now. I don't think he's gonna be that much of a factor for them, honestly. I think it's really Nowitzki not being there, like somebody that can't really hit the ball all the time, hit you know, shoot the ball all the time and score everything. But Harrison Barnes has come on a little bit, apparently. He set his career highs two nights in a row for points, so that's good.
Yeah, I saw that. And that's good, you know, but he's still not he can't be your number one. He can't be your number one scorer.
No.
He might be able to be your number one scorer, but he can't be your number one player.
Right.
Their roster, let me just read off a couple names.
Please do. Please do.
Quincy Acey, still in the league.
Well, you know, I like Quincy. I liked him when he was in New York. He's fine.
I like his feistiness.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Quincy Acey is, feisty. I like that about him. He tries really hard.
Yeah, he does try. And I like his beard combo with the head. Like, I think I love that.
Yeah,
but,
Go on. Right, so that's not a good place to start.
Shooting guard Justin Anderson.
Yeah.
Not a particularly strong player.
No.
Don't know too much about him. Small forward Nicholas Brusino.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Small forward Dorian Finney-Smith. Center AJ Hammons.
Oh my God! Did you
Devin
listen to
Harris
my?
Devin still in the league.
Did you listen to my predictions podcast? Because I predicted they're still going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I did.
I'm looking like a fool already. 2 weeks in.
Let me round it off with Dwight Powell coming in the power forward slot. That's a lot of names.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting into that nine man rotation.
Yeah,
and you like you said, Nowitzki is injured, and Nowitzki is so old. He really,
really
kind of only has that step back now.
Yeah,
or like, you know, shots if he's getting the ball, like, you know, in not necessarily like on like wing or something like that, but if he's getting like a shot in transition, or he's getting a shot, you know, a dribble drive, kick out, like he's going to hit that, and he's going to, you know, create separation with that little move that he does. but he's not going to be doing too much more. I think he's maxing out maybe at like 15, 17 points a game, you know, for the season.
Yeah.
Where is the scoring coming from? Wes Matthews hasn't been the same since the Achilles. Hopefully Seth Curry can step up and become.
But it hasn't looked like he's done really much either, has it? I mean, is he their first point guard or the second point guard off the bench? Or
I imagine, yeah, J.J. Barea is a starter.
Yeah, right.
And then I believe, yeah, Seth Curry would be backup. They have him listed at shooting guard. I don't know if that's correct.
Man, but, what was I thinking? I should have looked at the roster before I made that prediction.
There's a lot of bad players on this team.
I just had such faith in Rick Carlisle because he's like a magician with, you know, he's gotten them into the playoffs when they should never be in the playoffs. I think this might be the year that they don't do it.
I think you were like maybe on the fence, you know, and you just saw Quincy Acey and you just pushed him over. Like, well, they got the Quincy Acey factor.
They got Quincy Acey. They're all good. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a long season for them, and I feel bad. I feel bad for poor Dallas. I mean, I would never say that about anything else. I'm not a big Dallas fan, but, you know, hey. I mean, I grew up around Philadelphia. I obviously can't like anything Dallas, but.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, that Eagles, Cowboys thing going on. No, but I don't know. Growing up watching a lot of basketball, there's that the triangle in Texas. You know, it was always like the big, bad Emperor Spurs. So you always, or mm-hmm. for me at least, I kind of rooted for the other two teams to kind of topple them. I don't know why I thought like that, but Dallas was one of the teams I definitely rooted for. And Dirk, who doesn't?
Well, like Dirk, yeah, he's so lovable. I don't know. He just seems like this just bubbly, genuine personality. Like, it's if I had somebody that I could choose to hang out with for a day in the NBA, he would definitely be in my top 10 list, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. He does, like, fun things, too. He goes, like, play soccer matches. And
yeah, and he can barely move at this point. It's so sad to see him, like, just walk around. He's, like, he's just, like, a lumbering. He's basically Frankenstein at this point.
Yeah, he's kind of a wizard, too. He's got, like, the shaggy hair. Yeah. He's kind of wise. He's got, like, a great basketball IQ.
For sure.
I don't know. This Dallas team is... they're not going to make the playoffs. So I'm sorry that your prediction is is going to be wrong. My whole question with the Western Conference in totality, and I was thinking about it today just before the podcast, looking at some of these Western Conference teams, like, who is going to make the playoffs? So we can slot in a few teams. You know, you can slot in the Spurs, Clippers, Warriors. So that's three spots. So Thunder, I think we're both thinking the Thunder are going to make it in.
Yep.
So the Trailblazers made it in last season. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it again this season. So there, and a lot of people are thinking the Jazz are going to make it this year. The Rockets are a team to pick. So let's say it was, you know, those. So let's say, you know, from there it would be, you know, the Rockets possibly. Then we can say Trailblazers. I don't know. Who do you think is going to? Who do you think that other people think are going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference is actually going to miss it?
That's a loaded question, one that I'm not prepared for, and I'd have to open up NBA.com to look at the teams.
Okay, fair. I don't know. I was just trying to think about it. It just seems like how the East is going to be a crapshoot from like the 5 or the 4 slot onwards, and still the 3 because the Celtics are awful.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know.
We're getting all over the place.
yeah, but I don't know. Just kind of looking at the playoff picture, the West is going to be pretty crazy, too.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, if the Lakers keep playing like this, is insane that I'm saying this. If the Lakers keep playing like this, they could maybe challenge for an 8th, 7th, 6th seed. Like, what's going on? It's not, but this is also so super fun. Anyway, we'll save... talking about playoffs for another time.
Sure,
I'm sorry.
Sure. We are 7 games in.
Yeah. Let's not go too crazy. 7 games in. There's still time. Dallas could correct. Speaking of playoff teams, though, Golden State, what's going on with them? Where is their D? I think they're ranked 24th right now.
That's kind of scary. Yeah. Because your main, I guess, rim protector has been that sort of that combo of Andrew Bogut and obviously Draymond Green for the past few seasons. You lose Andrew Bogut, who is a super underrated defender. You put in Zaza Pachulia, who's, you know, pretty slow, not super athletic, he's big, but, you know, that doesn't get the job done anymore. He can't step out at all. Not that you could really bring Andrew Bogut out to, like, the 3-point line.
Right.
But he's a little bit more capable. I don't necessarily know what's going on there on the defensive side of the ball. And you know, let me brace myself. They are, I still think that they're definitely going to make it to the Western Conference, or to the NBA Finals for sure.
Yeah.
I do. I watched the game last night, and I just watched that Steph Curry barrage where he broke the streak in, or he, yeah, 13 threes.
13 threes in a game, yeah.
In a game.
I thought he already had that record, and he should have anyway. It's good for him.
He did have it. He had it, but it was 12, and he was tied with somebody.
Yeah, he was tied with, hold on, I know this. I think it was it Kobe Bryant and Donyell Marshall? Donyell Marshall went to the high school in my, yeah, he went to high school in my hometown. That's the only reason I know Donyell Marshall, yeah.
Yeah, he played for the Bulls the whole time. He just like camped out in that. Is that right?
I think he played for the Sixers at some point too. And like, but you're talking about Don. Yeah, but it's fine.
But yeah, did you want
Donyell Marshall? Who cares?
But no, Golden State. The defense. That's what people were saying is the worrisome point. Like for the team. Yeah, you get Kevin Durant. You lose Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Festus Ezeli.
Let's not count out Ezeli.
Yeah, you lose Festus Ezeli coming off the bench, who's a big-time defender and just a big body. He's a really good athlete. Then you lose Andrew Bogut, who kind of anchors everything. You know, they have a really funneling defense sort of system anyway. Steph Curry's not like a ball stopper.
No.
Klay Thompson's not a ball stopper, but they're just so good.
Klay Thompson's a bit of a ball stopper, isn't he? He's really good on the ball defense.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put him up there with like DeMar DeRozan and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope style. Right. I think he is good. He's serviceable. He's strong, but he's not, I personally just don't think that he's the next level defender, but they have an amazing system defense, and they do have a lights out defensive player in Draymond Green who can play 1-5,
right.
Who can, you know, get up on blocks, who's a great rebounder, great passer, just a great player overall. But there's definitely part of that where, you know, I think we were saying it earlier with OKC, where they don't necessarily know each other and they can't necessarily rely on each other. There's two major pieces in the lineup now where, you know, you don't necessarily know, you don't, it might be confusion on a switch or on a pick and roll or something. I don't know. I think offensively speaking, they'll still be able to shoot teams off the floor, so I'm not too worried about them.
Right.
But I wouldn't have ever guessed that this early in the season they would have gotten blown out by, I believe, 31 points to the LA Lakers or any team for that matter. And they got blown out by the Thunder or by the Spurs as well. So they already been blown out twice.
Honestly, and I think if you had suggested it to somebody, they probably would have slapped you and told you to shut up. It's just unbelievable. Like, get a hold of yourself, man. That's not going to happen. But yeah, no, I think that I kind of had this feeling going in, and I talked about it some months ago when they first, you know, when Durant first went to the Warriors, and I'm like, I know everybody's already ready to give them the ring, but we've seen time and time again, for starters, LeBron in Miami, when he went there, like, it's a super team. They're going to just give him the title. We saw it again with Dwight and Steve Nash going to the Lakers, and we're like, just give him the title. It doesn't work that fast. Like in Miami, you know, they did figure it out, but it took them 2 years. They didn't win the title the first year. It just takes the thing that I thought was going to hurt them is like first getting rid of Bogut. He didn't play that many minutes, but he's such a defensive presence. So obviously you take him away and I think like nobody's patrolling the paint. Like it's just gone. Like you don't have Ezeli, you don't have Bogut, and it just hurts your team. Secondly, I just think like, of course, it takes a long time for guys to gel and they had a nucleus with that team. Everybody understood their role. They all worked really well together. They were like a really harmonious choir. Like they knew what notes each other was hitting. Sorry, I always take it back to music because I'm very musically oriented. Don't ask. and like, you know, they played really, really just great basketball together. We saw them do it last year when they pulled games out of, like, how many games did they win in the fourth quarter when they were down and like nobody else would have come back, and a lot of times it was lucky, but I think it's a real testament to like the amount of comfort they had with one another as teammates and knowing their system and knowing their schemes and being able to run that defense that they had. You know, I just don't think Durant's awesome, you know, Curry's awesome, they're Draymond Green is freaking awesome, they're gonna figure it out, but I think it's gonna take a minute, and I don't, you know, it might not even happen this year.
I honestly, I'm not penciling them in to win the championship. I think the Cavs are going to be looking real dangerous going into the finals this year, and I don't think anyone's going to stop them in the East.
Yeah. And you know, speaking
So
of
no,
that.
I definitely don't think that there's you know that this is a direct path going into the final. I mean, look at last season, the same sort of chatter going into it, and like I said earlier with the NBA podcast and just you know kind of in this world that we live in, no one was giving the Cavs an actual chance. No one was giving any team an actual chance of actually beating the Warriors until they were down 3-1 against the Thunder. Then it's like, oh, whoa, they might actually lose, and then they won. It's like, okay, no, we're good. They're going to win. But look at they lost. They definitively lost. They lost Draymond for game five, but they lost. So, you know, I don't think that you can just write him in just because they got Kevin Durant to win it again. Especially when you have that monster in the Eastern Conference that is the same exact team. You know, maybe even improved.
Which just goes to my like the idea of continuity. They took the championship from them last year, and they're the exact same team. And I think they're only looking better. Yeah, let's switch to Cleveland real quick. They're off to the best start of LeBron James' career, which blows my mind. I didn't. I like how does he only ever started with like 5-1 in his career? Like the guys, he's been the best player on the planet for the last what 12 years at least. It's insane.
I was shocked to see that as well. So he's only been 5-1. He's never been 6-0. And the Cavs, you know, yeah, I mean, he was on those Cavs teams. You know, they've never been anywhere even, you know, close to 6-0 at this time, other than, I don't know when it was, maybe 2008? I'm not sure. But either way, no, they look really good. That Mike Dunleavy acquisition too might turn out to be something special because while he's definitely a geezer, he can still hoop and he is a really smart player.
And we've seen time and time again, like LeBron works really well with those guys that are going to give you really, really good minutes in like really short spurts off the bench for, you know, just like 6 minutes a game. Like Mike Miller and like, you know,
Yeah, Channing Frye.
Channing
He's
Frye, another
was
one.
a late season acquisition last season. Now he's had the whole playoff run under his belt. He was kind of like a stalwart in like the locker room, at least from what I've read and what I've listened to. And then you know you have him back for a whole another season. You know, he hit that, sorry to say it, but that dagger against your Sixers the other night. You know, he's got that range. He's a really solid player too. So you have a whole another year with him in your system as well. And now Kevin Love is starting to figure it out. He's averaging 21 plus a game and like 8 rebounds a game so far this season.
He's
So now you're starting to unleash him a little bit and starting to have him feel a little more confident in his role. You're actually getting the Kevin Love that everybody thought that you were going to be getting off the bat.
right.
That's going to pay dividends, and that team is going to be, you know, just
So hard to
fire.
beat. Oh yeah. Yeah, and he's another one. He's another case for like we were talking about Julius Randle about how he came back from an injury and he was just not the same for a year. And I think the same thing happened with Kevin Love, or that's what they're saying anyways. He separated his shoulder. That can't be easy to come back from. He apparently lost a lot of weight in the offseason last year and he just took a long time to round out, you know? Now giving him another year, he's come back healthy this year. He looks a little bit bigger and he's found his game again, man. It's, you know, he is the guy, just like you said, that they thought they were going to get. He's working so well with LeBron. I can say that. not 3 times fast, but I can say it. Yeah, man. And then, you know, adding Kyrie, adding JR, adding Shump. I love Shump, by the way.
Me too.
It was fun when he was in New York, but I'm not going to get on a rant. Yeah, man, that team looks so good. And honestly, I'm going to be rooting for them. I don't know why, but I've come around. Like, there was a point, I think someone said this about superstars. They go through this thing where, you know, they start out and they're the new guy and everybody loves them. And then after like a number of years that they're at the top, everybody starts to hate him, which LeBron definitely went through, especially when he went to Miami. And then, you know, towards the end of their career, if they're still good, they come back around and people are just like rooting for him. And I definitely am rooting for this guy to be, if not the second best player in the league, like, or not the first best player in the league, the second best player in the league of all time. Because I just want to see it happen in my lifetime. I want to see somebody like up there with Michael Jordan. And I mean, I guess that was in my lifetime too, but I was too young to really care.
Sure. And LeBron's a player that when I watch him now, I do try to put myself in the moment. Like, you're only going to get, you know, what, 7, 8 years max of this player, you know, gracing your television screen, being this type of player on the floor, he's not going to be a guy that's, you know, gimping out there. He'll call it quits at the right time.
Hopefully.
I think he will. He seems like a smart enough guy to do that. And he's got the rings. He doesn't need to prove too much. But, no, I agree. I'm not a big Cleveland sports fan by any means. I don't. The Cavs have been a thorn in my Pistons side, you know, growing up with the Bad Boys team, or not the Bad Boys, excuse me, but the going to work Pistons with Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like them from afar, and I like them, you know, being a really strong team in the Eastern Conference and kind of giving some validity to the conference in itself. I like LeBron in like playoff mode, but you know, if the Pistons were to play him again in this season, there's no love lost by any means on that Pistons side. You know, I am not rooting for LeBron and the Cavs in that setting, but in general, no, it's excellent. It's you know, he is such a good team leader. Just the way that he allocates, you know, resources when he's on the floor and getting the ball moving. Just some. Did you see that skip pass that he had the other night?
Oh my god, that was insane! How did he do that?
Yeah. I've never seen that before in my life.
No,
that thing was like legitimate. The from sideline to sideline.
Yeah, and it was skipped it across the floor.
I couldn't believe it.
On point, like right to the. It's like that was insane. Yeah.
That ball would have hit me in the face because I wouldn't have seen it coming. If I was the receiving end of that, I'd be like, well, there's no way this is getting to me. And it just would have popped me and got me in the face.
I don't even remember who the recipient was. I just remember that, like, that was one of the most incredible passes. And, like, that's the one thing that we're going to miss about LeBron when he finally retires. Like, we think about LeBron the scorer. We think about LeBron the defensive stalwart. We think about LeBron like nobody can stop this guy. But you forget about how amazing of a passer he is. It's so good. And I'm hoping Ben Simmons will eventually be that too.
And possibly. And no, LeBron is, you know, arguably the best passer in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he's so definitely the best player in the league. Like you said, he's one or two all time in my book. And he's excellent. There's nothing I can say, you know, negative about LeBron. You know, the decision was wacky and silly, but that was so many years ago at this point. I don't honestly care. And yeah, they're going to be. Cleveland's going to be looking good for the rest of the season. They're going to have such a nice cushion, you know, even starting off 6-0 so far. Yeah. They're not going to go on like a 2-4 slide really quickly. So they're going to have this nice little cushion going forward for the rest of the season where they can take some of their players, reduce some minutes, you know, let Kyrie shine, let him, you know, be their primary scorer on offense, get some of their other guys involved. And then just be rested and ready for the playoffs, which is that's they're only thinking about June and July. They are not worried about, you know, pre All-Star break, post All-Star break. They're worried about, you know, the playoffs and that's it. Specifically the finals.
Yeah.
Which is where they'll be. So no, Cleveland, they're so good and their players, every major piece is playing so well. That they're not really dynamic to talk about. It's just they're awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Beat everybody. I want my team to be that, but sure. Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of our teams, let's get to them because, like, we're almost an hour in already. We haven't talked anything about the Pistons or the Sixers. But let's I wanted to talk a little bit about that heartbreaking loss that the Sixers had against the Cavs the other night. Oh, my God, man. I don't know how much more I can take.
Let it out. Let it out.
You want to see me cry? You can see me right now. Have you ever seen a grown man cry? It's about to happen.
Not in game five loss mode, you know, game five of the regular season. Maybe like playoff loss or something. I can see a grown man cry, but not this early in the season.
Yeah, but it's not just, that's the thing. It's not just this early in the season. It's five cumulative years of this same crap. And I think... like, as upbeat and positive as I want to be about, like, have you got to see the Sixers play at all? Have you seen Joel Embiid?
Yes, I have seen Joel Embiid. And the game, the only game that I've seen in its entirety was that Cavs game, which was, I mean, it was excellent Sixers basketball. There's players on the team. It's like, there are actually some players on this team.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just this, you know, traveling circus of players and that you don't know of.
Yeah.
It's not just this, you know, I don't know, this rigmarole of different players that are just consistently being, you know, in the lineup, out of the lineup. They actually have some players now. Sergio Rodriguez being one of them. He is
unreal. Oh, my God. He's
unreal.
So fun to watch. Holy crap. I'm glad they got him.
Dish the ball. He's got a nice jumper. He can go off the dribble. He's really impressive. Obviously, Joel Embiid is great. Yeah, I have watched that game in its entirety, which is I think it's a good game to watch, but it's also a bad game to watch because if you're judging the Sixers at least, because it was the best of the Sixers that I've seen in a long time.
And that's what I was just going to say. That's the best of the Sixers right there. You picked the perfect game to watch the best of the Sixers, and in true Sixers fashion, they blew it. Like, and so this speaks to me like, okay, so I really want to talk about Joel Embiid, but everyone's talking about Joel Embiid. I don't even know if I need to say anything. In fact, there was, I don't know if you saw this Twitter today where they did a Joel Embiid and Hakeem Olajuwon doing the exact same move, the dream shake from the Cleveland game the other night. It's so good. He's going to be just a freaking beast if he stays healthy. And oh my God, I hope he stays healthy. The kid is just amazing.
I'm going to just say, I think he's going to stay healthy. I think we get Joel Embiid the rest of his career. I think the basketball gods will bestow that upon us. We deserve it. We deserve, you know, a player like Joel Embiid. I remember when Joel Embiid was in the right before the draft, he had a workout in L.A. And Bill Simmons, who I love, was there and was just like live tweeting in to saying about like, this kid is going to be the number one overall pick.
Right.
He deserves to be the number one overall pick. He's going to be an absolute beast. So it's nice that, you know, we've had this like, it's like been like Christmas Eve for the last like 2 years waiting for this guy to get on the court. And then it's finally, you're getting to see what he is. He's hitting it from three. He's got those moves. He can pass it.
I know.
So it's, well, it's insane. That's not something that you can teach really, or at least in that Cavs game.
Yeah.
I was seeing him.
He did
really
pass pretty well on that. The one thing I'll say about this is that he does get a little bit of tunnel vision. He needs to learn to pass out of double teams a little bit better. Cause they've been really good. People, you know, teams have really been closing in on him because they already see what an offensive force he is. By the way, that's not even half of it. His defense is like, you watch that team when he's on the court and when he's off, it is night and day. They're not even when he's on the court, they're a legitimate NBA team. Not a very good one, but they're legitimate. When he's off the court, there's no one there that can carry that load. I mean, he's that good. I'm just singing his praises. Anyway.
He deserves it, though. He really does. He's raw. He's, you know, this is his first season. So, you know, we should probably temper it a little bit just for his own sake.
For sure.
But no, he's got just skill that you just don't see out of people his size. It's just ridiculous.
It's insane.
And hopefully I don't know if he's necessarily shooting the three well percentage base, but it looks good.
As of the other night, he was leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Oh, okay. Well then, yeah, just stop me then.
That's an anomaly. That'll regress. But
it will regress. But if he can even have it at like 34-35%. If that's added to his game, then
for a 7'2" center, you don't. Yeah. What are you gonna do? What are you ever gonna do to defend him? It's insane. I know. I'm so high on him. Oh my God. Like, and you were saying that we're also lucky to have this kid playing. Like, think about it from a Sixers fan perspective. We're very so happy to have him playing for the team, and like we feel very lucky to have him finally. But just the NBA in general, we're all so lucky to have this guy playing. He's a throwback and he's a future player at the same time. I'm getting way too carried away with Joel Embiid right now, but yeah, it's pretty amazing. But in this is the idea that like, even as well as they played the other night, they still lost. They could not get a freaking shot off in two tries at the end of the game. They couldn't even get a shot off. Gerald Henderson just like fumbled the ball off his leg. I mean, he was probably fouled, but that's not even the point. Brett Brown couldn't run a play for them to get a good look. And I'm kind of like, I love Brett Brown. I think he's like the best guy that the Sixers could have picked to get them through this last 4 year stretch and keep the team together and keep guys from like really, except for Nerlens Noel now, who's not happy, but he's done a fantastic job growing players. You've seen some real growth in some players that I don't think would have come along the way they have if it wasn't for him. But at the same time, I think at calling plays and I think they've led the league in turnovers every single season he's been here. their out of bound, like out of their timeouts plays have been just awful. And if for a guy who stresses defense as his number one thing, they're still fucking putrid on defense. It's starting to make me crazy. I love Brett Brown, but and I don't really want him to be fired because, you know, Jim O'Brien is waiting in the wings, which is just going to be horrible.
Sure.
But I don't know, man. I think
it's a weird scenario because I don't know. And I was listening to people talking about, like, what's his leash? I was listening to something they were saying about how, you know, if he's 0-10 to start the season, you got to start thinking about calling for his job. And I kind of stepped back when I heard that. It's like, well, you know, what's necessarily new? Yes, you have Joel Embiid on the floor now, but you don't have Ben Simmons.
Right.
So you're kind of trading, you know, you're one of your of the process, you know, acquisitions from doing the from the tanking. You know, you essentially are kind of traded. You broke even on that one because you got one in, you got one out. And but then at the same time, yeah, you know, the fan base might deserve better. That, you know, it definitely deserves better, but you need to start winning some games.
That's the thing. You need to start
winning.
You can't
be completely
something.
Incompetent. So, right. But I don't know what it gets you firing him early in the season. Like right. You said, who's in the background's waiting, so you have an interim coach in. It might change up, you know, it might change, get a little fire going in the locker room, but it doesn't necessarily, unless you plan on truly riding with him going into next season, then it might not make sense. You might as well just keep who you got and then see who you have in the off season and see what kind of coaches might, you know, be super intrigued by seeing Joel Embiid after this first year and knowing that Ben Simmons is
coming back and you're going to have a number one back. Or might have the number one pick. And yeah, I mean,
in a great draft.
Right.
Too.
Right. In a great draft. It's going to be loaded with point guards. I love Brett Brown. I'm a big fan. I think he's an awesome guy. I think he's a like super positive personality and I really respect the hell out of that. I think it's just starting to wear on me a little bit. I just need a goddamn win, goddammit.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. You know, I've seen it in different sports. I've seen some really, really bad basketball out of the Pistons in previous years. And yeah, sometimes it's just like, no, the leash has been too long and you do got to let someone go. It's just, the roster is so raw in so many positions.
Right, and he's never
Robert
had a
Covington, man. I don't know what you feel about him. I would like him as a bench player. Like
I think he'd be really good as a seventh man. Yeah. I mean, his defense has been incredible this year for Robert Covington.
Steals.
Yeah, it looks like he may have found his shot the other night, so that's good against the Jazz, but they got their asses kicked in that game. I don't know, man. They've got some pieces, you know. But I don't want to do a deep dive on the Sixers. I could talk to you for the next 2 hours about it.
and
cry in my whiskey that I'm drinking right now. But let's talk about your Pistons a little bit and we'll wrap this thing up. Tell me about, so, you know, I guess last time we talked about Stanley Johnson and I'm thinking like, man, this kid, he's got a lot of potential. And he was, you know, again, last year in the summer camp, He was on fire. People were thinking he was going to be rookie of the year. He is in a super slump right now, right?
Yes, super super duper slump. He's coming out of it though. So
well, that's good.
So his actual stats for the season are, I believe, 4 points a game. The 7.3, I think that was from his total for last season as well. But he's at like 4 points a game and maybe like a rebound or two rebounds or something like that. So he was entering Saturday's game shooting 2-for-16 on the season. Ooh. So that kind of tells me two things. It's not a ton of shot attempts and right. Certainly not a ton of makes. What I've heard from what Stan Van Gundy had said in press conferences was that he has been asked to concentrate solely on defense, to really kind of up his defensive game, to be that guy that's coming on and stopping whoever's their best player out of their second unit or whoever's, you know, residual on that on that first unit. As long as Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is on the game. But either way, so he's, you know, he just doesn't look like himself. He had a really good game against the Jazz against the Nuggets a few nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shot, I think, 4 for 6 or something like that and finished with 12 points. He had a nice 3. So he's starting to get back into it. But, yeah, I'm still, you know, everyone in the Pistons community is a bit worried about him just because, especially when you see a guy that, like, Devin Booker that passed on and he had 39 points.
Yeah.
And that's like, he's going to be a stud.
That's the thing, man. Like, it's you know, hindsight is always 20/20, and it's so easy to, like, torture yourself as a fan base about what you didn't do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that, again, it's 7 games in. He's got time to correct.
I'm not worried about Stanley. I'm really not. I think he's going to turn the corner. I think he's really going to start to play a lot better and start shooting it a little bit more comfortably and getting back to his where we left him in the playoffs, where he was like scoring 8 points a game, was playing really good defense.
And I think that, you know, the potential and the talent are still there. That hasn't left him, so that's a good sign, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he didn't get injured or something. It's right. Not like he came back from an injury and all of a sudden doesn't look like himself. It's like, okay, you entered the season, you don't play well that first game. Maybe that leads into that second game, which could lead into that third game. All of a sudden, you know, people are starting to talk. Who knows the kind of factors that lead into someone, you know, playing poorly off the jump like that. But either way, I'm really not too worried about him. But it was nice to see him start to have a couple of rebound games.
Yeah.
So I am happy with some of the progress that he's been able to make. But definitely something to keep my eye on, and something that I know people who are following the Pistons are going to be keeping their eye on just to see, you know, what the hell happens moving forward from here.
Well, another thing to keep your eye on is so I guess Reggie Jackson's coming back in what, the end of the month?
Yeah. So he's still on the same pace that he was to resume, which is early December.
Weeks. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 6 to 8 weeks. So it'll probably be more like the 8 weeks. I think they'll have him out for the full 20 games. Part of that's because Ish Smith is playing so well.
And that was going to be my question. How do you feel about Ish Smith?
Man, I am pleasantly surprised. I know in the last podcast I was really optimistic about it, but when we signed him initially, I was not necessarily not optimistic because he was an upgrade from Steve Blake,
mm-hmm.
but I was really kind of like, Ish Smith, like, there's not another player we could have signed, or, you know, I don't necessarily know who I would have wanted. Maybe Sergio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But
can't have him.
No, he's looking great. He really is. He's getting a lot of players involved. He's, you know, getting into the lane. He's not, you know, like you said, he's not necessarily stroking out by any means.
Right. You don't want him taking threes, but
no.
But he's a wizard in the lane, man. When he gets down there, he makes cuts with the balls that I can't do without a ball in my hand. Like,
sure.
His side-to-side movement, just, like, with a ball in his hand, zooming around people and getting finding guys open, it's pretty incredible. It's really
and
impressive.
And he's allocating.
Yeah.
He's allocating to Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond's had, you know, a 20-20 game and a 19-20, or a 20-19 game already this season.
Yeah. He's really good at finding his big men.
He is. And it's been nice to see. He's actually been looking a little bit more natural finding Andre Drummond than Reggie has in a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of, he's pass first,
yeah.
which is kind of nice to see. Tobias Harris has been taking a major step up, just with understanding that his role is to become more of that offensive producer, not necessarily just taking shots off the, you know, like either in transition or, you know, assisted shots, really kind of creating for himself. Which has been super, you know, refreshing to see him kind of dominate and mm-hmm. to look to assert himself. So Ish Smith, I've been really happy with him. 7.5 assists per game.
Yeah, I think that's what it says.
7th in the league.
Yeah,
that's legit. And yeah, going forward, once we get Reggie back, and then he's our primary second point guard, I think that's going to be just huge for the Pistons in general,
which I think is the perfect role for Ish Smith too. Like, you don't want him being your starting point guard for a long time. He's great, but he still needs, like, he's a little undersized and he doesn't have a great shot, so you're losing a little bit of something with him being your starting point guard. But man, he really sees the floor well. He cuts like hell. He really knows how to find his guys open, and he loves playing with the big men. Has he given a lot of lobs to Andre Drummond yet?
Yeah, there's been some awesome lobs to Andre Drummond, actually. There's been quite a nice few alley-oop dunks. No, he's looked great. he's done exactly what you want him to do. He's, keeping the rhythm going, which is nice. He's new to the team, and to be able to kind of jump in and just keep everything going and to get these other players involved, that's what you asked of him, and that's what he's giving us. So I think the Pistons fan base in general has been really happy with the way that he's been playing.
That's awesome. He's like, what, 27? So he's sort of like a young journeyman veteran kind of guy who's been around the league and like, and I think that it's also going to help when, Reggie comes back too, because if Reggie does struggle a little bit, you can throw Ish Smith in there and you'll be fine. He'll keep the offense rolling.
You don't need Reggie for 40 minutes a game because you have Ish Smith.
Right.
You're right. If Reggie is struggling and you want to play him 25 and kind of ease him a little bit more into the game, or just into the season in general, you can do that. You kind of have that luxury because you do have a player that's already automatically, got a little bit of chemistry with some of the other players.
Yeah. So, real quick, what is their record again? I forget. They're
4-3.
4-3. So they haven't come out super hot, but I think they're pretty still good on defense, right? I can't even.
Yeah, except for last night. But we won't talk too much about that. They got blown out by the Clippers. My buddy was at the game. He sent me a photo. It's like, yeah, the Clippers game. Like, oh, nice, man. Good stuff. They were down by 40 at one point.
Oh, really?
Or 38. It was bad. I couldn't watch it.
Sorry.
So yeah,
sorry.
they looked good. They looked dominant at home, winning by 15 plus a game. They're winless on the road.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're like one of two teams that are like winless on the road and haven't lost at home, right?
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. And they also have they're in the midst of 8 of 9 on the road. This stretch is really going to kind of, by that point, it's going to be pretty much Reggie Jackson's team again.
Yeah.
So you'll be back to your old Pistons. So we'll see what they look like. I'm pretty nervous, honestly, with this stretch. Even when you're on West Coast road trips and you're playing bad teams, just the fact that you're on that road trip, it's always daunting when you have 4 or 5 games away.
Yep.
Or you have a back-to-back and you're in a different time zone. So it's a difficult win no matter what when you're going west. So I'm pretty nervous, but still confident just in the level of play that I've seen so far this season.
I mean, even if they split, that would still be a win, right? I don't know exactly who they're playing, but yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. If they split, which I'm really hoping that they do, they got Phoenix coming up tomorrow. So I
that'll be a good game
for a win. Yeah, I'm really hoping for like a Stanley Johnson. Strong game, especially with Devin Booker, because I'm sure he's seen it in his Twitter feed and people in that kind of comparison like I just made, which isn't really fair, but there's that game. Then there's also the Nuggets, who we just beat, so that game should be a win. We kind of dominated them in the previous game, and then we got the Spurs, so you really are hoping for a 2-2 split on this portion of the road trip. Then they go home, then they got another road trip, so we'll see. It's still early, so I know we were talking playoffs and championships and
again,
title runs.
I know we got into everything in week two. But one more thing I just want to touch on real quick, and I don't know if you found this either, but apparently I've given you a bunch of wrong stats tonight. Sorry about that, but this goes to my point of, did you notice that the new NBA website is freaking horrible? It's just like a train wreck of a website.
I'm on it for longer than I want to be, and I don't like giving my clicks to ESPN.com.
Yeah.
But lots of times when I want just like a nice interface and I want, clean stats, I will go to ESPN over like a basketball reference if I don't have to go too deep into it. In NBA, they give you so many tools, which is awesome. They really kind of could give you a lot of tools to see how, they have the NBA synergy stats, but they don't make it easy. I'm on there longer than I want to be looking around for stats. And
they give you all the tools, but they hide them from you. Like if you take it up, by the way, just the opening screen, the two screen split where you have to scroll on separate sides to find your game and find the, like, come on, man. Do you have to make it this hard? This is
so bad.
Unmanageable.
So bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is bad.
I'm appealing to the NBA right now. Please fix your freaking website. It's an atrocity.
We need LeBron James because LeBron James made like a mention to them about how he didn't like some sort of feature of it, and they changed it. Like, oh, we're on it right away.
Yep, LeBron speaks, they do it.
Well, we hack LeBron's Twitter account. We say everything that we want, and then we'll get our perfect package.
Done and done. Anyway, man, we should probably cut it because we've been in them for like an hour and 15 minutes now. But
that's basketball.
Yeah, that is basketball. Anyway, dude, good luck with the elections tonight, and good luck with your team.
Sure, same to you. I know that they're going to get some wins here soon, and I'm hoping for some, you know, some more Joel Embiid, you know, 30-point games down the road.
That would be nice. That would be really good. It'll help my sanity. I'm hanging on by a thread at this point.
Everything's going to start to level out, you know, after the election, after, you know, some more Joel Embiid games. You're going to start feeling like your old self again.
Yeah. Well, I am old, so I just feel like myself. Anyway, man, it was good to have you on again. Plug your stuff again real quick, and we'll wrap it up.
So Twitter, the_Fernantula. SB Nation's DetroitBadBoys.com. So that's www.DetroitBadBoys.com. I am David Fernandez, my namesake. And you'll see me on there writing some articles, including tomorrow's post game for the Suns game. So going to be up late.
Hopefully a win.
Definitely, especially you know, keep that streak going.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I'm sure I'll talk to you again soon. And keep up the mustache. It looks good.
All right. Well, thank you. And the beard's looking great yourself. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Thanks. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. Folks, we went really long today, but you know, it's been a minute, so I'm just giving you, as Jalen Rose would say, giving the people what they want, or something of that line. I'm just stealing shit from everybody today. Anyway, go vote. Actually, it's too late. Go stress out because the voting's almost tallied, and we're all going to know who our next president is. And I'm just going to say this. I don't care what you think of my opinion, but I'm really going to miss Obama. He has been my president. I really liked having him in the office, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But anyway, there you go. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.